Hello and welcome to Hometown Glory, your Spurs and Culture podcast. I'm Rosa and I have Billy, Lauren and Sam here with me to revel in the joy that was statement win Sunday. The men took their revenge on Aston Villa and the women made actual history by not just scoring a goal against Manchester City, but actually beating them on penalties to make it to the semi-finals of the FA Cup. A truly blessed day. All that and we'll have some culture for you too. Before we begin, we've got a special announcement for you. So I'm going to throw over to Sam to tell you all about what he's got in store. It's extremely exciting.
Hello. Yes, I'm very excited to announce that on the 30th of March, so the day of the Luton game, 3 p.m. kickoff at home, I'm going to be taking some pictures at the Beehive on the high road, closest to Bruce Grove Overground Station. So the whole point of this project that I've been thinking out for a while now is to basically take pictures or family photos, or think of it like a family photo, if you will, with your friends, with your mates, so you can get one alone. And then you pay what you will for this picture, and all of the money on the day will go to Tottenham Food Bank, which, as we know, is a very deserved cause. Since 2020, the intake for people that need or rely on Tottenham Food Bank has gone up 300%. And you know, as we know, with the cost of living crisis, you know, people are struggling now more than ever. So just trying to do a good thing for the people in the community that gives us all so much joy and identity. So please come on down, give what you can. If you can't give, then just come down and smile and be in front of a picture, if you don't mind. So I hope to see you all there for a beer and some fun.
Sam, where can people find you if they want to book?
Yeah, cool. So you can hit me up on Instagram or Twitter. So my handle is Sam Liam Cornish. Just send me a message and then I can find you a slot. So the easiest thing to do is to book a time. And then I'll send you a little form that you can fill out and that will take you through to the crowdfunder. It's hopefully a seamless journey for all of our donators.
And even if it isn't, that just means it's a fully Coys experience.
Totally. There's ups and downs in every Coys experience.
I'm very excited about this, Sam. I think it's a wonderful project, an amazing cause. And I can't think of a better way to get everybody truly psyched up for that Luton game. So thank you so much for organising. Hopefully we'll see lots of you all there. Right, let's move on to Aston Villa 0, Tottenham Hotspur 4. What a day. Last week we discussed this and nobody wanted to give a prediction because we just didn't know how it was going to go. It felt like it could be anything. And as it turned out, it was not exactly straightforward, but like incredibly comfortable, incredibly competent, incredibly satisfying, sweet revenge, karma for all the nonsense, just possibly the best game, the best performance this season. What would you say, Billy?
Yeah, man, definitely the highlight of the season so far, I think. The magnitude of the game, the performance, four different goal scorers, absolutely loved it. And I've just been on cloud nine ever since, man. It feels like really, really good feeling. I feel like we really needed it because we've been getting a lot of really good results lately, but not necessarily the best performances. I think we all know we could play better. So it's been frustrating, but today feels like we were definitely back and couldn't come at better timing really with what we've got ahead of us now. We've got some decent fixtures. Close the gap on Aston Villa and very exciting time. Very exciting, man.
Yeah, it was a massive, massive game. And I am quite shocked that Villa ended up being the Tottenham of it. Lauren, I put it to you. Last week, you suggested that Villa were potentially going to be more tactically flexible, which I think they were. And you also said they would be more comfortable out of possession. I put it to you that they were not.
Yeah. I mean,
so 50-50.
Yeah. It's weird. I was I wasn't expecting Emery, I think, to set up with a 3-5-2 or 5-3-2, whatever you want to call it. Because I think they really suffered. But also, I think, we just really suffocated them. Our press was so high, they couldn't get out. So I actually just think they got really tired out of possession. But yeah, I think it was an odd tactical setup from Emery, but I think at the same time, I think I was excited to see us play against somebody that wouldn't play a low block. And I think we saw the good, like the really good elements of our football as well, because we weren't just playing with like 11 men kind of just sat
We're
deep.
just desperately trying to find our way through, yeah.
Yeah, so I think it was nice because I think, there was a lot of hype going into the game. I think obviously with it being the City Liverpool game kind of on Super Sunday as well. And I agree with you, Billy. I feel like all of our recent wins we've just kind of like struggled to them. So it was just really nice to kind of get those two early goals second half, and just feel like we were in control of the game. And that's a very, very good Villa side. Arsenal and City lost there. Have lost there this season. So, it was just great performance, great result against a team that if we had lost that game, I think 8 points is just insurmountable, even with a game in hand. So, yeah, good stuff. Happy days.
Yeah, man, it's mad. It just felt like it was all set up for them, really, at home with their home form. But it's not easy doing Thursday to Sunday. This is what they all find out in the end. Europa will get you. Sam, you were there. You made the trip up to Villa Park, and you're a little hoarse today, but worth
I'm
it.
a little hoarse. Yeah, absolutely worth it. Yeah, I got home sort of 8:30 last night, and like I walked in the front door, and Nelly asked me how it was. I was like, "That's why we do it. That is why we do it." Yeah, it was so good. It felt like this enormous release that we were finally able to get out, because we've had like these moments this season where it's been like last minute winners and, yeah, like you guys were saying, that we've had fantastic wins, but recently lacking in performances, and we proper killed them in what was their cup final. All the stuff that John McGinn was saying pre-game about it being the biggest game in their recent history, and yeah, he got sent off, and we smashed them. So it was fantastic and so good to be there. Even after 2-0, I think a few fans in the away end were still a bit nervous and shaky, as coy as that is. But yeah, it was so good to see the third and the fourth go in, and basically just party mode, and watching the stadium empty with the rest of us. Yeah, just getting all whimsy and being all the noise. So phenomenal day out, and so good to just, yeah, be that statement win that Ash was asking for. And it finally came.
Yeah, I think we can officially say this is it, right? This is the statement win. There's nothing more satisfying, or there's few things more satisfying than just watching like the opposing team's fans just like leave early, just loads of seats. Like I sympathize. I do exactly the same thing. I'd be like, third goal goes in. I've seen enough. I don't want to be any more miserable than I am. I don't want to say I feel sorry for John McGinn because it was a ridiculous tackle, but like they'd obviously like really hyped themselves up during the week, and I respect that.
The world had come crashing down on them. I think he
Yeah,
couldn't deal with it.
I mean we've been there. I can't like
Yeah,
I
that's what
honestly
I was going
part of
to
the
say. Yeah.
joy. Yeah,
That's the kind of thing that we do like all the time. Like that's us to a
all the
T.
time.
It's good to finally have it. So it's like the Battle of the Bridge, that kind of thing, isn't it? Where it's just the weight of the game is just too much, and you can't really handle it. And yeah, considering we're a much younger team and a much, a team where a lot of these players are playing their first season in the Premier League, it was really satisfying to see us keep our heads in a massive game like that. And just, I thought we dominated it from minute one pretty much and never went back.
How do you think we did it though, Bill? Because you're right. We have been the team on the other side of that on so many occasions where, and even, and to be honest, even earlier this season, right, Chelsea at home, we just shot ourselves in both feet, basically. And that's kind of, I mean, that is what Villa did to the did to themselves, but we were also so much better.
Yeah, I think there's been I saw the tweets from friend of the show Sean Walsh, who made this point that obviously there's been a clear directive over the last few weeks since we've had that off period, or we had 2 weeks off, to try and control games a bit more, because we've, I think the Wolves game was a bit of a kick up the arse for Ange, and it was, a lot of our games have been sort of, we've had plenty of attacking, but we haven't really had any control over the games, whereas Palace and Aston Villa, we've totally controlled both games. And while that's a bit, you lose a little bit of the attacking, particularly in the first half, you don't get like the swashbuckling attacking as much. You do get control in the game. So I think we sacrificed some of our gung-ho-ness for a bit of more control. And we just like totally controlled the first half. I thought Aston Villa obviously played for a draw, which I think is a ridiculous tactic considering their home form, the fact that they're, the people that are ahead in the race. And, they beat Arsenal at home this year. I think they even beat Man City, didn't they?
They did. They beat them both 1-0, yeah.
Yeah, they're a really, really strong team at home. And to, play for the draw, it just shows that their heads weren't right for it at all. And I think they switched to a back five. I don't, I, you know, I'm not really tactically knowledgeable enough to know exactly what the changes that we've made to get this more control. I know that it's that I think Bissouma being back has been a big part of it, because I know that he comes really, really deep now and gets the ball from the centre backs quite a lot. And obviously having Sarr in midfield is a huge plus as well. But I felt like we controlled the whole game, and the first half was a little bit disappointing, but I did think that we were by far the better team. And it was just the fact that Aston Villa just came for the draw.
Do you know what it reminded me of a bit? Do you remember, but sort of in the first half, certainly like much lower, it was like a much lower quality version of that year, our last year at White Hart Lane, and we played Chelsea at home.
Yes, I know exactly
And
the
it was
game you
like
mean.
there was no room to breathe. It was just like suffocating, like everywhere on the pitch.
Yeah, and as
That first half was kind of like that, but obviously not of quality.
Lauren pointed out earlier, our pressing was excellent yesterday. It was really, really good. And Jamie Carragher's just done a few good pieces on Monday Night Football about it as well. It was just a really, really good performance in a really big match. And it's just really encouraging to see that, because we've often, and more often than not, we've been the Aston Villa in these big games where our heads go. So it's really, really encouraging, I think.
I think a big thing behind it as well was that, they weren't a team that were ever gonna, totally try and low block us like we've seen in recent weeks at Tottenham. They're always gonna come and play a little bit, and they like to have a bit of a higher line. So it was giving Johnson and Son room to make the clever runs that they're so good at making. But I think if we it was one of those things that when this game was announced and the European fixtures were announced, the Ajax away on the Thursday and then early kickoff on the Sunday, it's just a matter of staying in the game until the second half. And it was always going to be a very, very quick game with high emotions with the Benton Kerr thing. If we'd stayed in the game until the second half, I was so confident that we were going to batter them. And I do think if people try and play against Tottenham, try and play football against Tottenham, they're going to get done. Simple as that.
I almost feel like they got sort of caught in no man's land a little bit, Aston Villa, though, because they did go more defensive, but because they're so used to playing a certain way, it kind of caught them out. And and I think that's a little bit of what Jamie Carragher was saying on some of his analysis, that they just got sort of stuck and they didn't know whether to sort of stick or twist half the time.
He pepped himself.
I actually think they kept trying to play the ball over the top, which you don't do that when Mikel van de Ven is on the pitch because you're not going to outsprint him.
I mean, you
And I know
called that
Mickey.
last week, actually, Lauren. You were like, I'm not worried with Ollie Watkins up
Yeah.
against Van der Ven. Yeah.
Yeah, because this, and I think that's the beauty of having Mickey in the team because there's nobody that's quicker than him. And to be fair, I think, Romero's not as quick, but he's got acceleration. So I think we forced them to just play that ball over the top over and over again. But we could deal with it. I also think Ange set the tone in the press conference when he was asked about the Matty Cash situation, and he said, "None of that, please. We're just here to play football." And I think it looks like from minute one that we were just there to get the job done. Like the greatest form of revenge was to actually just execute the game plan. And obviously, it was nice because Bentancur got that tackle in on Matty Cash towards the end. But like at the same time, it was we do typically lose our heads kind of in those games. But I think there were just different things where I thought, do you know what? We just looked a bit street smart. Like even Udoji, it felt like he got up and he was like, oh, hold on a minute, I can make more of this. Let me go back down. And I just think those little things were understanding that we were playing the game, but also using the occasion to our advantage. And I think a lot of the time when we have been in those important pressure games, we just haven't done that and we've lost our heads. So yeah, I was just really happy, not just the football, but how we played the game and kind of understood. I think in that, you know, we all knew that we lose this, we're finished. But at the same time, it didn't feel like watching them on the pitch that they were playing with any kind of nervousness. It was just about going out and getting the job done.
Yeah, I feel like, and I know not everyone agrees with me on this, but I do think that that Brentford game, like, to me, feels like a turning point in how we deal with shithousing, basically, because Andrew was like visibly so disgusted with everybody that day. He was like, we're not doing that anymore. Like, not on my watch. And it does feel, by and large, since then, I mean, obviously it's not even that long ago, but we haven't really got dragged down into any sort of nonsense.
Yeah, and I think it was there for the taking, wasn't it? As Sam mentioned, you had the McGinn quote, you had the McGinn foul, you had the Matty Cash, you know, history, and we just didn't get involved. And I think what was really good to see was when the McGinn foul went in, like, Romero was just like being an adult about it. He did get involved, but he didn't do anything that was going to lead to a booking or a red card. And I think, just speaking about him for a second, he's completely transformed. And he even said it about in interviews, like, I think he's had 4 bookings this season, which is, you know, considered the way he started, has been made a huge improvement. And I just think you're exactly right in the fact that the way Andrew reacted to that Brentford game, he's not going to stand for any of that kind of stuff. He does not want to get involved, and it's not what he's about at all. He always wants to do the talking with the football. And I think as fans, sometimes you would love to have seen, like, Romero go two-footed on Matty Cash, but I think the much better recourse is definitely just, you know, just absolutely thrashing them on their own pitch. So yeah, so a real maturity that comes from Ange, I think.
And I think it speaks to the buy-in for the whole Ange project, really, from all the players, you know, because they've all spoken about it and they give like such glowing quotes about him. But it's when you see it all on the pitch, just down to those very small details, right?
Yeah, and do you know what it reminds me of is the great Danny Rose when we beat Arsenal in the cup, and he said about that. He said how the players were really annoyed about all the Arsenal tweets that they always do, and how they rise above that. And I think, like, I saw yesterday that was doing the rounds that when they beat us, the like Villa social media team did like 3-point lane, and we generally don't get involved in stuff like that, which I think is definitely the way to be. It's a bit pathetic, really, to be honest. It's just like pandering to, like, you know, teenage fans.
I think
this
it's
is
important. It, yeah. Sorry, I think it's important to add that the rebuttal, though it wasn't from the club, was there for the taking, the 4-0 park.
Yeah, I did see that. That's great.
Yeah.
It's just such a good feeling. The thing is, I've got no beef with Villa. Like, that was just, don't be so, like, that's obviously just like some weird social media intern or whoever. Fine, whatever. I have like zero beef with Villa. I don't even have any beef with like Emery. He seems like fine. He's a very sort of wily old fox of a manager, isn't he? So it's more satisfying to me to beat him because of the kind of manager that he is, as opposed to any sort of, I don't really care about his like Arsenal history, like it doesn't really bother me at all. I would like from all of you, if you can pick one thing that was your favorite from yesterday, could, like, can you manage it? Lauren, you first.
To be fair, I've mentioned it, but I think I actually think Udoji kind of getting up and going back down.
That's really good. Like,
yeah, because I genuinely think if he doesn't go back down, maybe only Brennan reacts. And I don't think we get the kerfuffle from the kind of the bench. And I think it forces the referee to make a decision. And I think we have seen those be just yellows, or we've seen them be reds. But so I was just really proud because he's a young guy. And you know, he was part of the Chelsea game where he just played the occasion and you weren't using your brain. So to see him kind of It just reminds me of like obviously like All or Nothing and Jose Mourinho is like, you guys are good guys, but good guys they never win. So it's just
It's
nice to
true, it's
see us
true.
kind of applying that kind of street nous and actually turning Villa's narrative kind of back against them, because I also don't have that much against them, but it felt very much like a we'll get back in your box type of game.
Yeah, completely.
And yeah, and I think to see John McGinn kind of capitulate in that way, yeah, like I said, like we've seen so many of our players over the years do that. Even our most kind of senior players, like I remember Moussa Dembélé, Battle of the Bridge, and all of those kind of
Totally
things. So it was
justified.
just,
We don't speak ill of Moussa
yeah.
Dembélé on
But so yeah, it was just not. I was really happy to kind of, yeah. And I thought he was great, and Pedro Porro were great as well. In terms of, it was so nice having like inverted fullbacks back. But yeah, that's my favorite bit.
Lovely stuff, Sam.
The song that was going out at the last sort of 5 minutes was "Who Put the Ball in the Villa Net?" Half the fucking team did. That really tickled me, and I was singing that until I got home basically.
And very specifically, would have loved that as well. He was pretty buzzing that we had four different scorers.
So good. Yeah, just the whole atmosphere yesterday was phenomenal. Just nice to be like, yeah,
The park's an
having
amazing
ground
ground, man.
again.
Villa Park's such a good ground, isn't it, man?
Oh, it's
Love
phenomenal.
one of definitely one, probably my favorite away day.
Oh man,
So
I've never been. I'd love to go. So
proper
jealous.
old school.
Yeah. Did you not? Surely your favorite song was when the Villa fans were singing about Super John McGinn,
From again, yeah. And then the red card came
then he
out.
gets sent off and it just goes silent.
Just goes, yeah, it's cinema.
Yeah, I love the moment of commentary, which obviously you would have missed, where they're like, they don't really know what's going on. And then all of a sudden, whoever the commentator is like, oh, it's a red. And it's just like high drama.
Yeah, I'm looking
Like,
forward to watching it back in full. I haven't had time yet, but I can't wait to just feast with some popcorn.
you will. Maybe skip. No, actually, the first half, pretty good also. Billy, what about you?
I'm really torn between two. I'm gonna have to go Brennan Johnson, because I just thought he was even. I thought, but he was by far our best player yesterday. I thought he was excellent in the first half. He's our best player in the first half, and he looked really, really dangerous. I don't think anyone really predicted that he would be playing on the left wing. I didn't see that coming at all. But he was, every time he got the ball, he was trying to make things happen, scored an excellent goal, and just looks a completely different player than what he was looking like a few weeks ago. He seems a lot more confident to take people on. He gets involved in duels. He's winning duels, winning physical duels. He absolutely had Matty Cash on toast, which is brilliant. And yeah, great goal. I think, you could obviously see that they've been working on one touch finishes, because him, Son, and Werner's got all pretty similar. Just, cut back in the box on one touch finish, which is obviously something they've been working on the training ground. And just quotes after is quite interesting, because he said the phrase that he used was that we don't have he hasn't we haven't got enough bang for our buck up front. I think he's saying that he wanted, the four people that scored to be scoring more goals. And it's just a really encouraging performance to see that. And I think Johnson was in the thick of most of it.
Where do you think that's come from with Brennan? Because he does look transformed. Like, we had such high hopes for him, and obviously it turns out they were completely justified. But it is his aggression and his strength suddenly, and the confidence.
I tell you where it's not come from is the idiot fans that were calling him out, which is an absolute disgrace, really. Like, it's embarrassing. And when he said yesterday, he said, "Thank you for the fans that have stuck by me through the criticism." That's a lovely quote and lovely idea, but I actually just made me embarrassed that he's still, it's obviously still playing on his mind. So I felt really embarrassed to be a Tottenham fan after that, actually. And where I do think it has come from is just from having an incredible coach in Ange, and who sees a young player that's going to be a really big player for us. And I just wish all of our fans would always have seen that. And hopefully we can all move past it, because he's going to be massive for us. And obviously absolutely loved him. So he's not going anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah, I'd love to just talk a little bit about like Brennan just suddenly just, I mean, maybe he's just always had that in him and we just haven't seen it yet, but it's like, I loved his celebration and he's just got such, just suddenly like a little edge to him, and you wouldn't expect it because he just seems like such a nice guy, nice boy with such a lovely face,
Yeah, and it
but
kind of is
he
exactly
loves it.
what happened in the Palace game as well, when he knocked those men off the ball and stuff. Like, he's
Yeah.
just He's, yeah, he seems to have really taken on the challenge of playing for a big team now. And it's just crazy the idea that we even doubted that as a second, as what, 22-year-old player. It's just absolutely ridiculous that we, weren't getting behind him when we were doing the opposite, which is horrible to think about, really.
You'd like
I
to
think,
think our fan base will learn, but they won't.
no, they won't.
I think we're also benefiting, I think, just from being able to rotate him. I think that the period where the criticism was really bad, he was having to start every single game because there was no one else. And I don't think that was probably the plan when we did sign him. It was going to be to bed him into the squad. He probably was going to always going to have more of an impact kind of off the bench and starting the occasional game. So I actually think we're seeing what we probably originally thought he would do in his first season now. And yeah, he's starting to tactically understand that. I think when he was at Forest, like he's almost like when Grealish was at Villa, like a lot, like they would build the game plan around his position. And it was just kind of, we'll give the ball to Brennan and go and do something. And I think now we're seeing somebody who's kind of understanding his role in the team, which is slightly different to his role at Forest. He's got a fantastic coach behind him, and he's starting to execute the game plan, and he's not having to play, like 100 minutes every 3 days, but at that period where we were just playing a lot of football. So yeah, I'm really happy for him, and I also felt a bit embarrassed because it's kind of like got like I feel like people always give their opinions online, but when it's like when the players can see exactly what you're saying, like it is quite embarrassing, and it's mean because he's a young guy. So yeah, I'm happy that he's kind of found his confidence to actually be, we're seeing more of his personality now,
Yes, yeah.
which is really good to see.
And you know what else I love is that you're right, it is that sort of Grealish vibe, but you know that Ange is not just going to turn him into, like, you know how to City, they all turn into just like pep bots, and like all the joy and spontaneity and invention just gets sucked out of them, and they're all just like well drilled, and they just, there's no, like, I'm sure it's fun for City fans, whatever. But you know that there's always just going to be like a bit of extra flair and a bit of flourish with Ange.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he will harness his best attributes, and he'll take on some more attributes, but that kind of raw talent, which is why his price tag, is what it is at the end of the day. I think you can still see that in his play. Like Matty Cash had a terrible time, and then that was like raw Brennan Johnson rather than a coached version of him, because he was just happy to go inside outside. And I hope he never loses that, because I do think in general wingers in our league are really predictable, and I think City are probably the biggest example of that. So hopefully he kind of keeps that edge about him.
Do you think that's why he did start Brennan on the left? Because I was also quite shocked to see, because he had really struggled there, but
I just don't think Kulusevski can play off. Like, I think Deki has to play on the right, or he has to play in the 10. He's not going to play off the left.
yeah.
So I think to fit Brennan into the team, if they're both playing, someone needs to play on the left. And I think Brennan is probably the most capable of adapting. But yeah.
Yeah.
Just looking at the Villa Ajax game. And because I was thinking that maybe the plan was to just run at Cash, and just try and break him. If you the last thing you want is Brennan Johnson running at you with tired legs, but you come on at half time. So he only played 45 minutes against Ajax, but God, he looked like he played 120. And yeah, just to sort of extend the Brennan praise, like he really set the tone, just that confidence to be able to take him on every time, inside out, like you said, Lauren. That he was just bamboozled, tangled up, and I'm sure he wanted to sub himself off after 15 minutes. Because yeah, Brennan was just unbelievable. So happy to see it.
I'm going to give a shout out to Porro, and when he nutmegged that Villa player towards the end of the game for our fourth goal, I believe. And right behind the Villa player that he nutmegs, there's another Villa player who's just like, just lifts, raises his arms to the sky,
Oh,
just like,
Zaniolo, he was like,
yeah,
oh, fuck
just that
off. He
fuck's
was like, you're still
sake.
playing.
Just again, I love to see it when they're just like, oh my,
Just blow the whistle
just let me
round.
go home.
Make it stop.
Just that game was just full of those little joyous things.
Can I do three really quick honorable mentions, which are Sarr, who was absolutely incredible, Dragosin, who for the first time had some proper minutes, and Timo as well, because I love Timo, and I
Yes,
scored a great goal.
my friend. Lovely goal, lovely finish. They were all lovely finishes, but
They were all lovely finishes,
I
yeah.
probably enjoyed that one the most.
But I thought, yeah, Salah in particular was outstanding. Yes, this was absolutely ridiculous yesterday.
An insane cross. I don't
Yeah,
actually know
where'd
how
that
he
come
got it
from?
so accurate. He
That
looks
must
like
have
he's
been
falling
from
over.
straight. I saw and talking about this morning on the radio, that must have literally been straight from the training ground, that move. And obviously he's got it in the locker, which I just did not know.
No,
Yeah,
because
and I
he's just flying. And I don't really know
it's
how he like gets it on target.
proper like Beckham whip on that cross.
Absolute pinpoint. I do feel like if that was De Bruyne in that right channel and he made that cross, it would be everywhere. As in, we would have seen that on our timelines like at least 100 times. It's just not by choice. It's an
115
absolute
times. I see.
it was some world-class cross.
Yeah, I see. Yes, in wrestling terms, that game seems to have put Sarr over, because there's a lot of like just like generic football accounts that are tweeting about him now, which is kind of annoying because I just want him to be laughing forever. I don't want them
Yeah.
noticing him,
It's
but
okay. 2030. Yeah,
he's getting
none of you can have him. He's
he's getting
ours.
proper attention now, which is a bit worrying. But he's so good. I'm not worried about him leaving. I just like him being our little thing that no one really knows about. He's
Yeah.
homegrown as well, isn't he? Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
he is.
What a player.
Shout out to the Madison goal as well, because another one of my favorite things is players who fall into the goal after scoring.
That was a
This
really
is
hard finish
a nice
to
vibe.
just one of your favorite things. I like
Yeah,
that.
just like it. Just like, oh, it's just taking me with it. Very, very, very fun. Yeah, lovely debut for, well, not really a debut, like a proper, that's like a proper debut for Dragosin. He's only had about sort of 5 minutes here or there. He looked extremely competent, wouldn't we say?
Yeah,
Yeah.
really. And it sounds like he might play the next game as well with Van de Ven being assessed. So, I was a bit worried. No, I wasn't worried about him. I was just a bit worried for him because he hasn't got a look in at all. And how can you when you've got Van de Ven, who was unbelievable, by the way, in that first half, and Romero, like, it must have been frustrating. I know he's a young player coming to a new team and wouldn't be expecting to start every game, but he's had no minutes hardly whatsoever. So I'm glad he got a run in. He's been patient with him. And I imagine he'll probably start against Fulham, so I'm excited to see that.
He's been very chill. I also felt incredibly bad for him, especially because Dier's gone the other way and is now, well, not the other way, but has gone
Play
to
the Champions
Bayern
League.
and yeah. It's like playing loads, so
Also, he did say after the game that he feels like really at home here, and it's been great. So
oh,
it's bad for him.
that's nice, that's
Also,
nice.
his brother is well worth checking out on social media as well.
Oh
He has
really?
like a
Has he?
restaurant where they watch all the games from.
Oh
He's like,
yeah.
is that Salt Bae but burgers, right?
But also like not cringe, we hope.
Yeah, no, none of the Korean. Dragosin is like he's unbelievable, isn't he? Like he looks like something out of a film or something. Like he just
He's like a
he's
Viking.
like a Viking statue kind of guy. Like what a I can't believe how young he is. He looks like he could be our oldest player, but yeah, he's a real specimen.
He actually genuinely does look like he should have been in that show, Vikings.
21. He's 20. How is that a 21-year-old
He's a
person?
baby, but he looks, yeah. They're all babies though, man, but they're all
Or
just
like
younger than Sarr.
the Dothraki in Game of Thrones or something like
Yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Like he would really fit in. Like he doesn't look like a footballer, like to put it that way. But yeah, I think the context of actually, because it was still nil-nil when he came on, and that kind of high pressure, having to deal with the pacing behind, also coming on for the player who, like Mickey, was so good on the ball as well. I actually think I was really worried. I was literally, it was weird. I felt like I had my head down in the depths of despair when the goal went in, because I was just worried about what we were going to do about Mickey. And I think the biggest compliment is that we still looked really assured defensively. So I think it showed just he hasn't been playing, but whatever we're doing in training, he kind of completely understood what his job needed to be. So I think even if Mickey's injury isn't that bad, it's Fulham. Just play Raddy, make sure he stays involved within the project. But yeah, I think fantastic business. Considering most clubs didn't do anything in January, I think we solved a big issue of what if one of those two get injured, and what's the kind of emergency planning. And I think he looks like someone who's really competent, and if we get Europe Champions League, hopefully. He'll play a lot more next season anyway.
Yep, it's looking even more likely now. Before we get to that, actually, can I have a man of the match from all of you? Sam, your pick.
Yeah, obviously really hard to pick, but I think I was just blown away by Destiny Udogie's performance. Thought he was, faultless the whole game. Just drove us forward every time, defensively sound, and quite, clever, like you were saying, Lauren, to maybe make a bit more out of it. That tackle, he's still a young guy. We always forget that. And looking at what you tweeted today, Billy, that between him and Saar, collectively, we think we spent £33 million. I think Destiny was 15 mil, if I'm right.
Yeah, crazy, man.
Which honestly, honestly, no, it's a lot of money in the world. But like for modern day footballers, he's £100 million player, right? Just insane that he's ours. So yeah, he blew me away and continues to do so week after week.
Lauren, your pick.
I'll go for someone different. Pedro Porro. I think for him to come back, having had a muscular injury, to come back of a game of that nature, I also thought he was superb. I think our system works when Destiny and Porro are on the pitch together. And I also thought Kulusevski had the best game that he's had in a while because he was able to link up with Porro. And I think their relationship, and actually, whether it was pressing for the second goal to kind of win the ball back, or how they made the third and fourth goal kind of between, I just think we need, I think, to unlock Deki, he needs Porro behind him. And I think, yeah, that kind of right side started to look as good as the left side has looked over, like, since we've had Destiny back. So yeah, shout out Pedro Porro for kind of being a warrior and getting himself back fit for this game, because I do think it could be slightly different if he wasn't on the pitch. So yeah.
Yeah, I think it also shows that we were all right to say that our inverted fullbacks are so key to our system, and that once we've got them both back, we'll be okay, I think. Billy?
Yeah.
I'm really torn on between about three or four or five players. I mean, we haven't even barely mentioned Son on this podcast yet, and he was, scored, got an assist. So just
But he
means
had
that.
sort of a weird game, didn't
Yeah,
he?
he did have
Like,
the
I know he
game.
got chosen as like the fans' man of the match, but I wouldn't have picked him, which sounds
Yeah,
mental.
I wouldn't pick him as man. He wouldn't be in my running for man of the match either. But he's just insanely productive as always.
Yeah.
Like genuinely, as we mentioned last week, I think Sam said it, like the best finisher of all time, statistically, in like the history of the game, like in terms of the stats.
And
Yeah,
to
it's
be
just
fair,
crazy.
like, they were all lovely goals, but his was the sort of
Yeah,
purest finish,
it's
wasn't it?
also an exact carbon copy of the one that he scored against Aston Villa when we beat them 4-0. Same assist from Kulusevski as well. It's really weird. Someone did a video of them side by side on Twitter, and they're almost identical. It's really weird how stuff like that happens. And I'm gonna go for Brendan Johnson though, just because I thought he was our best player in the first half, and then he scored. So, I'm gonna go for that. Could be about five, six other players, but I'm gonna go for that.
Yeah, I would pick Brennan as well, just because he was like, I think it's easy now to look back at that game, for me anyway, and to say, oh, I can see the plan. I can see it was all about kind of trying to control things and contain things in the first half, and then we just kind of really turned up the heat in the second half. And I love that. Like, I love the way that we can do that. Just you score one goal and then they all know they can go and score another one immediately. And there's nothing more beautiful, I think, in football at the moment than to watch like all of our attackers just like flood forward immediately once they know it's on. That's glorious. But the first half at the time was a really difficult watch, and I loved that Brennan was the one who seemed to be trying to make things happen. And I know he didn't play like the full 90 minutes, but it felt like he was the one who played the whole game. So I think I would give it to him. But I was also like, it's lovely to see Maddison back, isn't it?
Yeah, so I was a bit worried in the first half again, but he was excellent in the second half. And I also just want to say that we kept a clean sheet for the first time in a very long time, so that was great as well.
Yeah, so we should like just that's a nice little present for Vic, isn't it?
Yeah, and
Yeah, he
primarily,
deserves
he
it.
really
Conceding
does.
silly
I didn't
goals.
barely had to make a save, did he? Which I think he deserves after the last few weeks.
Yeah, so true. Final question for you all. I do think we have covered this, but because I just want a definitive answer, just so it's on this pod, because when other teams bottle it, we get to say, we get to decide. We've been called bottlers enough. So I just want to know from everybody, did Emery bottle it?
Yes. Yeah,
they lost 4-0 in their cup final.
Yeah.
And they changed their whole, like, most... They changed their identity when they... And this is what Andrew always talks about. It's that if you change your identity, like, once, it kind of, like, negates your whole identity. Like, they changed it for us. They went 5 at the back, tried to do something different, and if you do that, you look really weak. So, yeah, he definitely did.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew would never do that.
Never.
Yeah, I think... I don't know if I use the word bottle, but he definitely over-engineered. He did a Pep. Like, when Pep starts, like, in a big game and you just rip up your traditional game plan, which has worked, to do something really silly. So I think he definitely just overhauled it. But, yeah, you can call it bottling because you think pressure's on, it's a big match, and you've made the wrong decision. So,
Thank you, I will.
He flips the result, it would be, you know exactly what would be happening.
Oh, yeah, please. That would have been
exactly. So, yeah, sorry, Villa. Judgment has been passed. Okay, now we're all feeling really good about top four again, I guess. How do we envisage? We're not going to look too far ahead, but I just want like a gut check, a temperature check. Do we feel now like we're going to do it top four? We don't need to worry about the coefficient. Just in this moment, snapshot. Sam.
Yeah, I never doubted it.
No, that's true.
You can check me on every pod that I've ever been on.
We have the evidence, yeah. Fair enough. Billy.
I do think we'll do it, but I also want to shout out to our manager, glorious manager, who does not bother himself with such things. And, you know, he laughs in the face of any suggestion that we're trying to get top four. So
that's
I do
true.
Think we'll get it. But as Anne said, we want to do better than that.
Mm-hmm. And I've literally been having this conversation with Ollie today, who has gone in the space of a weekend from like arguing with people saying we could totally get top three to now being like, you never know, guys. It could be like league is still on.
We play,
so.
We play them. I'm not obviously not realistically suggesting that but we play them all. Like, we've got four really good fixtures now. If we have to win all four of them to be in with any kind of shot of going above top four, even top three. Who knows?
And why not? Why not?
I think you've just got to take the mentality of Ange and that top four is not mm-hmm. something to aim for. And that we should just go for something bigger and see what happens at the end of it.
Yeah. Lauren?
Yeah, I agree. I'll actually say thank you to Timo Werner because his goal means that our goal difference is actually better than Villa's now. So that's actually massively kind of given us an advantage. And I know I'm quite heavily critical of Timo, so yes. Give some Timo praise. I think yesterday I stopped worrying about that coefficient and fifth place because I think we have to look upwards. Mm-hmm. I think this was a match with if we had lost it, we were out of it. But now it's about looking upwards. I think we have to go to the bridge and win that game in hand, and we play better against teams who would play football against us. And we've got a good run of games, but also the big games. We will get chances against Arsenal, United, Liverpool, just because of the nature of how they play the game. So, yeah, we shouldn't aim for fourth because you don't enter the competition to win fourth. You aim to win. So, and I think we'll do it.
That's right. So yeah, let's, yeah. Think, so we're going to win the league, is what you're saying.
No, because this is recorded. But yeah, I think, why not? Why not dream?
Yeah. Ange would not have it any other way. Amazing stuff, guys. Now we are going to move on to Fulham next week. And I'm going to kick us off with another mini quiz. So question one. In the corresponding fixture last season, Son assisted Kane's goal in a 1-0 away win. Now, what was significant about this goal? A, it equaled the goal assist partnership record previously held by Drogba and Lampard. B, Kane equaled Greaves' goal scoring record. C, it was Kane's 200th goal in the Premier League. Or D, it was Son's 50th assist for Spurs. Sam, I'm going to ask you first.
I'm going to go with A.
Okay. Lauren?
I'm going to go with 200th Premier League goal.
Okay. And Billy?
I know obviously he broke the record versus City, but I'm going to say he equaled it versus Fulham.
Sam, what was your answer again?
A.
Okay, equal the goal assist partnership. Billy, you said equal the goal scoring record. And Lauren, you said Kane's 200th goal. Billy, you were correct. Kane equaled Greaves' goal scoring record. That game was actually Sonny's 49th assist for us. And do you want to know when he got to 50 assists? It was this time last year during Rantgate.
Southampton, no
The
way.
Southampton game, yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't
What a
that
year.
feel like 100 years ago?
Well, not, we've had about four
Yeah,
managers
we've come
since
a
that
long
year
way.
and about
Yeah.
500 players. And yeah, what a year it's been since then. It's almost exactly a year ago, right? It's a year
Yeah.
yesterday. Not much has happened since.
What, like, it's just been
Jack
like
of Antonio as well.
just the most Tottenham year of all time, I think.
Funny because I saw that record that we are currently we've got 39. We've gone 39 Premier League games with scoring, which is the second most ever behind
Yeah.
Arsenal's 55. And they showed like a history of that 39 games, and there's been four managers in that time.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous, isn't it? This goes all the way back to Conte, Stellini,
Yeah.
Nathan, and
At least our players are consistent.
yeah,
Yeah. This is mad. Like
this is one
most of
season. That's
those have
one
been
season of games. That's 39 games, four managers. That is just mental.
and
We've really been
also,
through a lot.
yeah, we have. But in like most of those games, we'd lost our like record goal scorer as well. Oh, Tottenham. All right, question number two. Obviously, this is a question about Clint Dempsey because you can't talk about Fulham and Tottenham without mentioning Deuce. He is Fulham's all-time Premier League goal scorer. He got 50 goals for them. How many goals did he score for us in all competitions? Was it A, 19, B, 7, C, 21, or D, 12? Billy, I'm going to start with you this time.
Do you know what? I had a very similar question to this on Jack's quiz. I'm trying to think what it is. I'm going to go with a seven.
Okay. Lauren.
Was that 12? Was that one of the options?
12 was one of the options, yeah.
I'll go 12.
Okay, Sam.
I'd also like to lock in 12, please, Rosa.
Okay, you are both correct. It is
Yay!
12,
Yes.
12 in 42 appearances, including a total of 7 league goals. So, my most memorable Clint Dempsey memory is when he equalised for us in the snow against
Yeah,
Manchester
that was
United.
a great
So,
game. That was a great game.
that was a
Yeah.
terrible game. I remember I was so ill and I like hauled myself up off my sick bed and it was so cold and wasn't it like Van Persie scored?
Yeah.
And then we just struggled. And
Mine
then
is
Clint
when
saved us.
he scored in that at Old Trafford because I think that was the first time we beat them there in about only 30 odd years or something, and he
Under
scored just
AVB.
after they were scored, and
Yeah.
Bale scored twice that game, or something. Or Vertonghen scored once, then Bale scored. Yeah, that was a brilliant game as well.
Yeah. We've had some good times. This one takes you, is going to take us a little slightly further back than that, which is what links Danny Murphy, Stephen Kelly, and Simon Davies. Give you a few minutes to think of this one.
Let me guess.
Yep, go for it. Just
Is
guess.
it they all have gone from Fulham to Tottenham to Fulham again?
It is not. That's a good answer, though. The real answer is more delightful.
Obviously they've all been for Fulham and Tottenham, right?
Yes, they have, yeah. It's a tricky one.
Yeah, and the way you're grinning, obviously people can't see, but I'm like,
I know, I'm just so delighted with
is
the answer.
We've got our album artwork for the
It's just really enjoyable being quiz master for these things
pod.
because I just never know the answers. So I'm sitting here being like, yes.
I've got absolutely no idea.
No.
Don't know. Do they wear the same number? I have no idea.
You're coming. This is quite good answers, actually. Shall I tell you?
Yeah.
Put you all out of your
Yeah.
misery.
Yes, please.
They all played for Spurs and Fulham while Martignol was manager.
Ah, that is a callback.
Ah.
He's punching his wall for those that can't see.
Yeah. Great man. Great man.
A great man. Do you know what though? When Ollie and I were discussing this earlier, and we realized there's like a whole generation now of Tottenham fans who don't know about Martignol.
Yeah, sad
Oh
man.
God, what are
This
we
Postecoglou
are?
would be there, Martignol, though. That's
Yeah,
like he's like the equivalent.
but I don't think they'll understand. Like this, none of this was possible. This wouldn't be possible
Yeah.
without
Yeah.
BMJ. That's the thing.
Laid the
He like
foundation.
started
Yeah. Laid the
everything. Yeah.
foundation. And he wasn't even manager. He was assistant manager at one point. Wait, he hired us. What a man.
Was
I have to
he?
say, I can't believe that you've done three questions about Tottenham and Fulham and no Dembele questions.
Oh my God. I'm actually
You didn't
disgusted with
realize
myself.
it.
I thought it was
I'm
going to be like,
so
yeah, just
appalled. That's
wipe that.
wiped. That's wiped the grin right off my face. I'm literally horrified.
It's too
This.
obvious, right? It's too obvious. Too
That's
obvious.
what. That's what
Not
I'm
too
gonna.
obvious. It's
Yeah,
okay. He
on this
had no
podcast.
history. He had no history before he came to Spurs. That's
We'll,
why.
yeah.
That's your excuse.
Exactly. He belongs to us and us alone, I'm afraid. I genuinely had forgotten that he played for Fulham because I do. I'm like, Belgium, Tottenham, the end.
Life begun when he arrived.
That's
That's what
it.
he always says, though, isn't it? He always says that
Yeah.
Tottenham is his club, so.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Does he? I actually don't think of Dembele as a particular like Jan loves us very much and is quite effusive about us often, but Musa just doesn't. Well, he just doesn't really talk, does he?
Yeah, he's not on social media, but
No.
I just remember he said he wouldn't go and he wouldn't play against
Yeah.
Spurs, which is why he went to China. So
Yeah,
I
he said
think,
yeah.
yeah.
Oh. He said he absolutely loves us and we're his club forever.
Oh.
Which means
Well.
more when they don't say loads of stuff all the time, like most of the other players do. Like, even Carl Walker was bigging us up the other day, wasn't he? But like,
Yeah, and I was a bit like,
I'm
I don't
too
want to
far for
hear
you
it,
to do that,
Carl.
Carl.
Yeah, sorry, it's too late now. Sorry.
Yeah, we know you don't mean it. It doesn't matter. Just go away. Yeah, I love that. That there was a whole piece about Moussa Dembélé the other day, and they were like, we tried to reach Moussa Dembélé for comment, but he declined. Literally, a
Great
whole
news, sir.
article talking about like how great he is. He's like, I don't want to contribute. Thanks. Incredible. Right, I can't hold it back any longer. Another fucking incredible thing happened yesterday, which is that Tottenham Hotspur women played Manchester City for the fourth time this season. And this time, we not only scored an actual real life goal, we fucking beat them. And we're in the semi finals of the FA Cup. I'm so buzzing, Lauren. You were there. You were there. How good
Yeah.
was it?
Oh, do you know what? I felt like after the North London derby, I was like, I don't think I'll feel that level of pride in this team again for a really long time. And then, lo and behold,
I know.
Becky Spencer stepped up, Amy Jones Turner finished the job, and yeah, I mean, we're in the semi-finals, first time in our history. I don't know. I feel like I don't know what to do with myself because even support the men's team over the years, we don't get to FA Cup semi-finals very often. So to think that we are one game away from Wembley and a year ago we were fighting relegation, I just think what a turnaround, what a performance. And yeah, and to do it, I think, against a team that had become our nemesis this season, and it was kind of like, will we change the narrative? Will we do something different? Yeah, I'm buzzing. Like, I can't, like, the draw tomorrow morning. I'm so excited to
But
think,
also, this
where are
is
we
the
going?
game. If we could have picked anyone to beat them in, because to be honest, the league like doesn't really matter because we're not going to get into the Champions League places yet, right? And we're not in danger of relegation, so it's like it would have been amazing. But like, this game means something.
No, absolutely. It's like, yeah, it always feels like if you're a team that are outside the top four, your cup runs are as long as until you don't draw one of those teams. So I think, anybody that would have been looking at the match yesterday would have thought, yeah, City will beat Spurs.
Yeah.
So to cause an up like an upset in that ma in that manner, to know that we are literally it's one game away from making Wembley, like it's just. I don't know, like it's just crazy. Like I was at Wembley last season at the FA Cup final, and I was actually sat in my seat thinking, "Will I ever get this moment like supporting Spurs?" And I didn't think like it would be like a year later, like we're that close. So yeah, I just think such a credit to Robert since he's come in. He's just like Ange has just breathed absolute new life like into the team. different ideas. And you can see in the way that we play, like we're under new management now. We are not pushovers. You are going to have to play really well to beat us. And if you don't play well, we will absolutely match you and push you all away. So yeah, I'm just so proud of them because yeah, just for everything that everyone's been through, whether they're new players coming in or players like Becky who have been here like pretty much like since we've been promoted, even Roz coming off the bench, Ash Neville, like yeah, you know, those players who understand and they've been here on this journey, for them to kind of have this moment to make history. Yeah, I'm just happy for them. And I'm happy for us as fans because it's like we've also been on this journey
Yeah,
with the
I
team
think
and now like look what we have.
look what we have. But I think yesterday was like a proper like fairy tale of a game because of everything, because of all the build up to it, because of losing to them so many times. What was it like? 10 goals against, none for, and then we went down so early, and I
Yeah.
like they scored after like 5 minutes to a pretty sloppy goal, really.
Yeah, like it was completely preventable. Where, you know, Evelina didn't have her, wouldn't cover herself in glory for that goal. And then it was just a silly deflection trying to overcompensate for the poor defending. And it's weird because like it went in and we were rattled like
Yeah.
afterwards. Like we really struggled in the first half. There was
It
a
was like,
real
oh,
kind of
this
lack of
again. Like, ugh, it's just going to
yeah,
be
it
one of
was
those days. Yeah.
yeah, and it just kind of yeah, there was just no organization. Obviously not having Molly, you know, it just kind of felt, you know, like that was a blow to kind of to see that she obviously couldn't then start the game because she was ill, and it
And
just kind of
she
felt
withdrew
like
like very like minutes before kickoff, right? So again,
yeah.
we're taking like an immediate hit. The defense is obviously not organized like we'd like they would have like planned for in the week, right? And Molly, we've had her all season. She has, I don't think she's
Yeah, I
missed a
can't.
game.
Yeah, no, I genuinely cannot remember the last time she didn't. She hasn't played because
Yeah.
even in the cup games, like she's just one of the players that doesn't get rotated out of the team. So I think, yeah, you know, it kind of threw us at the start and. We almost played the first half like it was a league game, and it was kind of like, but come like this kind of like this is a cup game. We have to push. Like we're losing now, so you're going to have to score if you want to stay in this. And I think the transformation kind of in the second half was a mentality shift where it was a case of we're not going to be pushed over here. We are going to go for it, and we're going to show what we're about. And if we lose, we lose. And I think we played with that kind of level of freedom. To take the game to City, and I do think you know one club mentality. City played on Thursday as well, and I think we just kept pushing and pushing, and we were patient, and they were getting tired, and we were stepping up our intensity. And I think you know the getting a goal literally in the last minute of the game was like more than we actually deserved. But I think the whole kind of narrative and the fairy tale of it, where you're literally thinking. Oh God, we're going out here. And you know, we were in last chance to lean. Amy had gone up front. Yeah, and just to kind of, you know, her ability to kind of play that ball where she thought Beth would be.
Yeah, she just kind of
And
kicked it. It was sort of kick and hope, basically. Yeah, so it's absolute chaos in the last like 10 minutes, right? Amy goes up front. Don't know what's going on behind her, to be honest. Doesn't matter. We're just going for it. Beth didn't even start the game. Her form's been terrible. Basically, ever since she came back from injury, we've all been quite worried about her. And then they were just obviously a bit rattled, right? I think they thought they were going to just like put us to the sword. And for whatever reason, they didn't. I don't really know why, whether they were tired or. Like, there's no reason. They've got enough talent, ultimately, that they could have done us if they wanted to, or just, I don't know, maybe they just couldn't find a way through. And then there's just a mad mix-up in the City defence, basically.
yeah, and
Poor old Kiara. I like her very much, but thank you.
no, I think I do really rate her, but she's a young player, and I think she's got
Yeah.
two weaknesses: lapses from concentration when she plays out from the back, so you know you can if you are going to press her, you may get something, and she sometimes comes off her line in a really irrational way where she should have just left her defender to deal with it. But I also think that is then. the experience of Amy and us as a team having done our homework to think, oh, if I play that ball in that funny area, what, how would Kiara react? How would the defender react? And yeah, the, you know, complete mix up. But unless Beth makes that run,
yeah,
that mix up doesn't happen because they're panicked. They were tired, really tired by that point. And yeah, you're right. I think even though we haven't scored against them up until this point, I think the last game had shown them that you're not just going to turn up and batter us. I mean, like, you know, the first time we played them, it was 7-0, but I think they had learned that this is going to be a really tough game for them. And it was, you know, I don't think they can complain conceding when they did, because we should have, you know, I mean, Beth missed a sitter earlier on in the half. We were the, you know, we were the better team.
Yeah.
And in extra time, we played them off the park. In all fairness, honestly, we were unlucky enough to score.
I think that was an immense performance. Like I said to you guys, I think at the end of extra time, where I was like, it doesn't matter what happens in penalties, because I'm so proud of this performance. Because I thought, even though City had played in the week, I was like, we don't have the squad to compete with them, right? And they could bring on like whoever, you know. And but we were the ones who looked like we wanted to win it, and we put them under pressure. And like, honestly, like, shout out to our new players, frankly, because Matilda Vinberg and Shuang Wang, like, made a massive difference, I think, when they came
on. Yeah, I think we'd seen glimpses. I actually think less so of Matilda, like, since they've, like, came in. But that, for me, I think that yesterday was just a, you know, these are future Spurs players and they get it and they are going to fit the system. And I think every time they picked the ball up, they were direct. They just tried to either, they tried to get the ball to goal, whether it was dribbling to goal, whether it was trying to slip balls in behind. The intensity as well at which they kept pressing, and I put Roz in this as well, because you know, Roz, without the end product, but the pressing that she was doing was really effective, and actually just continuously making that run and using her pace. And yeah, I just thought, you know, they gave us so much energy to kind of continue the game plan. Because I think Robert was quite bold in his choices. Like, you know, at a time we needed a goal, he brought Martha Thomas off to bring Beth England on. And, you know, we're all sitting there.
Yeah, thinking, you were like, you know, what
just
are
play
you
two
doing?
Strikers. Yeah, like, play two strikers. Like, we actually really need a goal here. But I do think, yeah, the performance of Shuang and Matilda just meant that we actually could keep pushing forwards. And yeah, just in extra time, we were fantastic. And it really isn't that long ago, like, watching a Spurs team, that when we played one of the big teams, we were cooked. At 70 minutes, we maybe if we clung on and maybe we were only one or two goals down, at 70 minutes, we would concede three, four goals in that final 20 minutes of the game. So the fitness work that we have done to actually make sure that we're capable of playing our style of football, and that when we played it, you know, across extra time, I've just never seen us do that before. So yeah, just in all areas of us as a team, like, we've just really improved. And I think that grit and determination and the resilience, which has always been present, I think, as part of our DNA, but actually performance wise, yeah, it was just, I just never ever thought we would just be playing City like off the park. Like, they just, they were absolutely,
we weren't hanging on. They were
for penalties. Yeah, they were hanging on, thinking, "Oh, let's just get to penalties," because they probably in their mind thought they had better penalty takers than we did. So yeah, just really, like, it's just pride, like, to think, like, you know, depending on who we get in the draw, obviously, but, like, you know, this time at the end of the season, in a couple of months, we could be at Wembley, like Wembley in an FA Cup final. Like, it's crazy.
Also, like, I can't believe we're here again, just feeling so proud of our team. Like, just before Christmas, you know, we'd won our first North London derby, and it was such a big feeling, such a big vibe. And we were like, doesn't matter what else happens this season, we've had that. And now look, man, an FA Cup semi-final. Let's talk through that penalty shootout. Because, okay, so we had, you know, you can't overstate, like, the amazingness of that moment, of our captain, who'd been playing poorly, but just found herself in the right moment. Open goal in front of her. She's not, obviously, she's not going to miss it. Saved us, you know, the way she saved us time and time again last season. She got that moment. I'm so thrilled for her.
Yeah, player for the big occasion, absolutely. Yeah. Like, yeah.
But then it's penalties. And we're like, okay, fine, whatever. They probably do have better penalty takers. And then Becky saves their first two from Alex Greenwood and Chloe Kelly.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? It's funny. I feel like as we were preparing for the pens, everyone's like, "Yeah, but Becky never saves anything, so like we're finished here." But at least we tried. And I think when you see Alex Greenwood walk up and you think, "Well, this is a penalty take for England," and she saves it, and you're like, "Oh my God!" And obviously, Beth steps up, she converts ours, and then the Chloe Kelly penalty. Like, if you're listening to this and you still haven't watched it back, I advise you to go and watch Chloe Kenny penalty. She's like, I feel like as Spurs fans, we are specialists in penalty taking because we've had Kane over the years. But like her technique and the power that she gets on the ball, like I think her penalty at the World Cup last year was more powerful than any shot recorded in the Premier League last season. Like she, when she hits them, she can hit them. And to think that Becky was able to make the right decision, anticipate, move her feet, and actually make sure she was there. Like I was amazed because that is a world class save against somebody that can hit the ball harder than most other people. To the point where she doesn't need to go be top corner or wherever because usually the power just beats the keeper. And I think psychologically, to have your keeper step up and save the first two, you take all the pressure off your own team and you give it to them because they just knew. So yeah, and Becky, you know, she started the season, she got dropped. This is her kind of vindication. I feel like we've been here before talking about vindication for Becky, but for her to kind of to have her moment and to step up and save the team, bearing in mind that she has had to sit on the bench kind of under the new transition. And you know, I think we've criticized Barbara over the last few games anyway. So yeah, I was just so happy for kind of Becky to step up. And it almost felt like a Hugo Lloris moment. It reminded me of the first Champions League game at the stadium, and obviously Aguero had the penalty, and we were like, "Oh, Hugo never saves anything," and then he kind of stepped up in that big moment, and he saved it. So yeah, I'm just so happy for Becky, and yeah, we were able to kind of because we always had that advantage. I know Roz missed, but because we had the advantage of her saving the first two, it
And like
just kind of
Roz
meant
always
Roz and.
scores as well. That was quite weird. We had a sort of weird flip. We were like, oh, Becky doesn't save penalties, but Roz always scores them. And then it was just completely the other way around. But it didn't. Yeah, exactly. And we had that cushion, basically. I felt sick. I'm not going to lie to you. I watched it. I watched them all like through my fingers. I got, as I was telling you guys earlier, I like made my kids join me in like a prayer circle before the shootout. I was like, please, Tottenham, win on penalties. They all repeated it with me. It worked. It's obviously magic. You're welcome, everybody. But then after that, yeah, we just didn't look back. I fucking
No.
massive shout out to Amanda Nilden's penalty, which I thought was just
Yeah,
cold.
I mean, literally, like, as in the perfect penalty. And I also think, I know we talk a lot about Grace Clinton and how we want to sign her on a permanent, but I think we have to shout out Amanda because one, she's still on loan and we need to sign her permanently as well. But like, she's just taken that left side like by storm. Like, she just completely slotted in. She gets up and down. She's really good defensively. She's really good going forwards. And yeah, that technique, I was just like, okay. Because especially like you're in a penalty shootout, you feel nervous, and then someone steps up that you've never seen them take a
And
penalty
is a
before. You're like,
defender as well. I literally was like, oh no.
yeah, like what is she gonna do? I know she's got a good left foot, but I didn't think it was that good. So yeah, I think you could tell that we had prepared, like we looked like we had practice in training, and we knew exactly like what we were going to do. Unlike me, because like I was supposed to be in West London. I just wasn't expecting it to go to extra time or penalties at all. And I was like, guys, we need to shift the recording later because I was like, I'm still
Like,
here
sorry,
because
I
we're
can't
still in the
leave.
game. Yeah, like and it was crazy. And I think, yeah, it's just and even Shuang stepping up to kind of to finish her penalties. Like it was a blend of experienced players who have been here before and new players who, you know, it's the start of their Spurs career and we're going to remember this and the outcome for a really long time. And you know, Alex Greenwood, their kind of leader, centre half, steps up and misses. And Amy kind
Listen, it was all leading up to this moment, Lauren.
yeah, I mean, she's been
I
superb,
honestly,
but
because obviously, because you know, technically, she got the assist for Beth's equaliser. But I like when she stepped up to take the penalty, I was like, oh my God. You know how if you when you whenever you watch like Kane like take a penalty for England or like a really scary moment in a Spurs game, and you're always like, just please don't, like it's too much pressure. You just watch them being like, you can't miss this. Like it will like affect my entire life if you miss this one. I honestly felt that way when she stepped up because it was just too much. I was like, there's too much at stake, like for us as a club, for me personally. This is a lot going on emotionally for me. And then it was like, just no worries, don't worry about it. I got this.
Yeah, like, and she was so calm. And like for me, whenever I see a defender stepping up to take a penalty, I just think of John Terry. So I'm just always
It's like
prepared for
fun and
like,
tragic at the same time.
yeah, like for some calamity moment because they get their technique wrong, that they're not familiar, like it's not familiar to them or whatever it is. And yeah, she's just kind of like, I just remember I was like, oh, her run up's a bit long, but she always waited for Kiara to dive, and then she was like, oh, I'll just pop it in. It was, cool and calm and under pressure. And I think that penalty just signified this upturn in form that we've seen from her. And I think we've been able to rely on her at both ends of the pitch, which it's crazy in
The
itself.
complete
But
player.
yeah, and just to know that, I mean, you think, yeah. We're going to see a lot of replays and everything, and I think it's nice for her because I think she really has struggled. So for her to kind of have this kind of vindication moment as well, yeah, I'm just kind of really, really happy for her as a person because she's always just kept going, even when it hasn't been going well. So yeah, for her to kind of say, "Don't worry, guys, I've got this."
Absolutely glorious. She's literally taken us to FA Cup glory. By the time this podcast comes out, we'll already know who our semi-final opponents are. So not much point in talking about it, but we are going to play one of the semi-finalists. On Sunday, we're playing Leicester at home. Just Lauren, just give me one thing to look out for.
I would say, because they're only 3 points behind us in the table, I would actually say that this is us going up against a team that we're competing in positionally in the table, but also kind of same level. So I think the kind of like how the Spurs Villa game is the case of you've got to beat the teams that are around you. So I think from a team performance point of view, not just the result, I think I'm kind of really looking forward to seeing kind of where we are. And I think that, they've got a couple of players in form like Shannon O'Brien. So yeah, I think obviously we don't know. They could be our opponent, they may not be. But I think the narrative would change, for example, if we do get them in the draw, because it's kind of a preview for the semi-final. But a game that we should be winning. And I think it would be nice if we kind of win the game in style. So yeah, fingers crossed.
Yeah, both teams will be pretty buzzing to have made it to the semi-finals. So, but we should be more buzzing because we beat a bigger team and we're playing at home. So, fingers crossed that is enough to see us through. All right, amazing stuff. Let us wrap this all up with culture. Billy, I'm going to start with you first. I would like your quick summary of the Oscars and anything else you've been up to.
Lily Gladstone was robbed, and the rest of them were pretty boring and predictable. I don't think she was robbed actually, because Emma Stone was a really, really good in Poor Things, but just a bit of a shame because Lily Gladstone was amazing. It would have been historic if she'd won. The rest of the awards pretty boring, to be honest. Like Oppenheimer swept, and shout out Miyazaki as well because Boy and the Heron won. Yeah, it was pretty predictable other than the Emma Stone thing. I don't know if you guys have seen the clips of Messi the dog, which is the star of Anatomy of a Fall, which is like the best performance of the year by far. If you haven't seen that film, please just watch it for the dog performance because it's genuinely insane how good the dog is in that film. It's actually like incredible how good that dog is, and so I'm glad the dog was at the Oscars because there was rumors they was banned. And I haven't seen anything this week because I just watched Dune again, and it was just incredible. It was even better the second time, and I still can't believe how good it is.
Billy, have you watched Shogun?
I've started. Sh I've, you know, when you're an adult and you watch, you got like 7 minutes here and there to watch it. I've watched like 5 7 minutes. So I'm like halfway through the first episode,
Okay,
and
we'll talk
I'm
about it properly
absolutely
next week.
I'm loving it. I'm really liking it. I can just only have time to watch about 7 minutes at a time, so it's a really terrible way to watch a massive historical drama like that. But
Yeah.
I know I'm gonna absolutely love it. I know I am.
Yeah.
You liking it?
Yeah, I am. We've only watched one episode so far, and it is, I can see why some people are kind of selling it as like the next, the sort of new Game of Thrones, because it
Yeah,
is very much in
that's
that
what I've
sort
heard.
of everyone's really filthy, it's really gory, you know, there's boobs for no reason in one bit of the episode. So it's quite
It's one
good
of those.
fun.
It's subtitled though, so unless I'm either working or with my phone, I have to dedicate my full attention to it, which is I only get like 7 minutes of a time. But I definitely really want to watch it.
It's definitely worth your time. It is also, it's, you know, it's slightly silly, and mostly the vibe I'm getting from it is men are the same everywhere, basically.
I
But
freaking love Cosmo Jarvis as well. He's in one of my favorite films, which is Slow Horse, Calm with Horses, which is an amazing Irish film. Yeah, I love him.
he is very good in this, I think. He is, when I was
I haven't really got too
complaining,
many scenes of him yet, but he's, yeah, I know he's gonna be good.
there's a lot of him quite naked.
Yeah.
That's, you know, I don't object to that. He's also like, you know, when I was complaining last week about Master of the Air turning the British into baddies, it's like this is a reasonable time for the Brits to be the bad guys, so that
Yeah.
works. It's very sensible, so they can proceed as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, it's all good fun. Sam, what are you up to?
Not a lot of time for TV lately, but we went for a nice dinner, didn't we?
We went, oh my God, we went
With
for a fucking
with
incredible
Ash.
dinner. Yeah.
Yeah. Went to Baron Jack in Soho,
My
which is kind
debut.
of, yeah, your debut. Fan favorite in the Hometown Glory group. But yeah, Persian restaurant in Soho, highly recommend it. It's like amazing meze. And then yeah, kebabs off the Mangal. It's just like really simple food, but goddamn, it's so good. So yeah, go and get a table if you can.
Yeah, there's
And
queues out the door. I don't, because
yeah.
what I also love about it, I think that's my favorite kind of restaurant, where you don't get, where it's not tables, but it's like little booths. I think like
Yeah.
that is the way to do it, because it's just like nice and you feel secure, and I love that. But yeah, I don't know how anybody gets a table, because there's just like a million people outside.
It's wild, yeah. But yeah, go and do it. And yeah, kind of a weird one, not a weird one, but it's weird to recommend a podcast on a podcast maybe. But really been enjoying James Allcott's Ripple Effect, his Spotify podcast. He's a YouTuber and he does football content. But he had a cool podcast in the last week where he basically was quizzing a football manager all the questions that you want to ask of a manager, but they typically can't answer because they're in a job and they basically get sacked on the spot if they told their true thoughts. So, and that was with Mark Bonner. He was sort of a longtime manager of Cambridge United. So pretty insightful stuff. Highly recommend going to have a listen to that. So it's yeah, James Allcott's Ripple Effect.
Nice, I love that, and I've recommended loads of podcasts on here, I think. It's all part of the culture, isn't it? Lauren, how about you?
I finished one day.
Oh my God,
That's
yeah,
probably
apologies.
like,
I owe you a massive apology. I
yeah,
did
like
try to
that's
warn
very,
you.
no, yeah, but it wasn't a good enough warning. Like, yeah, it was like two, not nearly 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm sat there like my throat is hurting, like I'm having to blow my nose, like that's how much I was crying. Yeah, like it's really sad. Really good, like, but re like, yeah, the ending is really
Brutal.
emotional, but yeah, it is like, and obviously I didn't watch the original film or read the book, so I just wasn't expecting anything that was coming, apart from I knew something bad had happened because of your mini warning, but I just didn't really I feel
Yeah.
like if I knew how sad it was going to be, I wouldn't have watched it at that time of night, because I was actually like feeling emotionally drained trying to go to sleep, but yeah, I highly recommend if you have skipped all the hype and not watched it yet. But yeah, it is really good, but prepare yourself. Is basically the motto, and
Be
that's all
strong,
I've
but we
really
know you're
watched.
strong.
Yeah,
Everyone's a Spurs fan. We know you can handle it. Yeah.
you can. Yeah, you can. And music wise, Sinead Harnett's released like A couple of new singles. So Thinking Less is my culture pick for the week. I really like her voice, and I feel like, as with most kind of UK R&B-ish type singers, they go to America because they no one listens to their music here.
Yeah,
But
we
yeah.
don't support our people.
No, we
Yeah.
don't at all. But yeah, it's a really nice track. So yeah.
Lovely. Yeah, I mean, for me, it's just one episode of Shogun, nearly finished Master of the Air. It improved again the other day. It's just been this the Master of the Air experience has been a real roller coaster for me. I take back what I said about Austin Butler being really bad in it. I actually don't think he is that bad. He's just not as good as some of the other guys, but he is by no means the worst. So there you go. And it still looks incredible. I think my criticism of it this week is that this is the episode where the Tuskegee Airmen show up and sort of all the plots kind of converge around D-Day, which I think is a good concept. I just think it's a bit of a piss take just to kind of bring in the Tuskegee Airmen just for like half an episode right at the end. I think it would have been very cool if they'd done like three different groups or two different groups or whatever, and then have the same kind of structure at the end. So I couldn't let it pass without some criticism. But who knows? Maybe they'll make it seem really amazing by the last episode. We shall see. I know everyone's really going to be looking forward to it. Guys, amazing stuff. Thank you so much. What a fucking weekend to be Spurs. Long may it continue. Billy, see us out.
Beehive Luton game. Make sure you see us there and at the Spurs.